people who we've interviewed on this radio station in Clark's anti-poor drug war. Stop hate crimes against the poor in Santa Cruz. Stop this kind of hypocrisy. Fire, discredit, and denounce the public officials who are giving you this kind of phony baloney. And it's pretty vicious phony baloney since it's going on every night and will be going on tonight as I speak. Well, what's the good news? I mentioned that I tried to educate one of these council candidates, Fitz Morris, earlier today. I spoke to him on the phone, Tim Fitz Morris, nice guy, transportation commissioner, outspoken, strong positions in favor of Beach Flats residents, in favor of stopping crazy over-the-hill development, of allowing public process at city council, good for those reasons. He also said some things that encouraged me at a Peace and Freedom Party candidates forum about a month ago when he himself brought up the issue of the Citizens Police Review Board. And he said the point that really struck him was he knows that something's wrong with the Citizens Police Review Board. He knows it's not investigating the police shootings of people like Happy John Dine and Brian Andrus and the homeless, the violence against the homeless, and the institutionalized selective discrimination that goes on against poor and homeless people downtown. He knows that poor people don't file complaints anymore because they know the Citizens Police Review Board is a rubber stamp, that it's never held an independent investigation, that it's never held a true public hearing, that its members are not advocates, but they are chair warmers who are essentially garnering additional frills for their resumes. That's what they're doing. That you don't have a real independent review process, even to the extent that they could use it if they wanted. They don't even use the tools they have. Instead, they go into secret meeting, or closed meeting, if you will, and they look over what the police department says, and then without any further investigation, they rubber stamp it. And occasionally they may dissent from it. But of the dozens of homeless complaints against police misconduct like Sergeant Clark's, it's only on two occasions that they have sustained a complaint. One of them actually was for this homeless man, Pat Ring, that was assaulted by Thurber. It was in the case, I think, of Officer Eveleth or Officer Lefevre, who told Ring to put out his cigarette on the ground and then gave him a ticket for littering. That's one of the favorite pastimes of the Santa Cruz Police Department, when they just don't have any rapes, murders, assaults, or maybe helping people. Wouldn't that be nice? Helpful activities of some kind to attend to. They pick on people who are politically trying to make the kinds of changes that would make life better for everyone, and particularly poor people. I'm talking again about Pat Ring and the City Hall Sleepers protest. Anyway, I was talking to Fitz Morris, and I talked to him about, I said, what we need on the Citizens Police Review Board are real advocates. You need a stronger board, too. You need a stronger board that seriously has the power to discipline officers, has the power independent of the city manager, that has its own independent investigation team, that is mandated and required to hold public hearings. All that would be good. But really, you need people with the will to do this. And the only way to get those people are to get people who are real advocates, who have been fighting police violence in the community. Not people who are pretending to be objective or claiming to be impartial. You want people who have a devotion and a passion for making sure that justice is served and are concerned with police misconduct. And that is something that we haven't had on that board. I'm not saying it'll be a hell of a lot better because the police department seems to be expert in tying up this board. But unless you have a board that wants to do something, it's not going to make any difference anyway. So I talked to him about that. And I suggested to him that there should be an early investigation of every serious act of police violence and every serious act of misconduct and public hearings on that. And the reason I say early investigation is the normal process, when you file a complaint with the police department or with the Citizens Police Review Board, it's much the same thing. The police department are the people who investigate these complaints, invariably. There's never been any different, though there is a provision if the CPRB wanted to do otherwise, they could, but they've never been able to find the intestinal fortitude or the concern to do that. They would say the need, I'm sure. When a complaint is filed, it goes through the police department, it's investigated, and the police department can hold it and hold up on it for example, as long as there's legal stuff pending. And if the person who's, let's say, beaten senseless by the police or shot five times, as Brian Andrus was, or the family of the person who was killed, like if Happy John Dine had a family nearby, and he could actually sue as the family of the man shot on the hill on Highway 17 in the spring is now suing, they would have to file a claim with the city. But the minute they filed the claim with the city could hold up on that and say, you can't investigate that. Hold up on, they'd tell the police department to wait, and they would tell the Citizens Police Review Board to wait. But the Citizens Police Review Board has the power now, days after the shooting, the next day, to immediately call for an early investigation and essentially go around that process of trying to avoid a public inquiry that the police department, the city, the district attorney's office, all these pro-police agencies that want to maintain the sterling reputation of the police department, want to bury these issues, will use and have used in the cases. They could at any time have ordered an early investigation of the Happy John Dine. They could at any time have ordered an early investigation of Brian Andrus. They never have. And I'm afraid, given their current, I know, given their current makeup, they never will. So I brought these matters to City Council candidate Tim Fitzmaurice and suggested to him, get off the stick and do something about this. And he took it all in. I didn't demand from him what he would do. I simply wanted to tell him what my concerns were. And he listened, and I appreciated that. Of course, the question is not how well someone can listen. And all you have to do is look blank and stare at someone or remain silent and read a good magazine on the other end of the line while someone's phoning you. And I'm not saying that's what Fitzmaurice did. But it seemed to me, I myself was particularly, as I said, discouraged because we spent many hours trying to educate these candidates about the sleeping ban. Organization after organization in the last year has told the community it supports ending this ban. SCAN, that's the main group that will be electing these candidates. Santa Cruz Action Network has for years opposed this ban. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, the Peace and Freedom Party, the Green Party, I mean, you name it, even the Downtown Association, that horror of horrors, didn't even come out against the sleeping ban repeal initiative. They took no position. So for these candidates to pull back because a couple of West Side liberals who are good on the environment, like Jillian Greenside, don't give a shit what happens to poor people at night or want to wait for another year to debate the issue, is to me beneath contempt. And I really get upset when I hear about it. So, having said that endlessly, I will move on to the next subject. But what do you think about this? Am I getting a little too upset about things that I should be more mature about, that I should know that we're dealing with candidates who are sort of the same old shit in new bottles? I mean, is that what we're dealing with here? I hope not. Because when I've talked to Sugar Cronin and Fitzmaurice earlier in the campaign, they seem to be changing now, as I said. I had really positive experiences. I mean, I had a sense that these weren't primarily politicians, that these were activists. These were men who were going to bring their activism to city council, that they were only even getting involved in the political process because they had to. Because Rotkin and Matthews and Hernandez and Kennedy and Campbell were being so gross and so vicious, and rushing the process so much, and ignoring the public so blatantly, that they just had to get on the council to kick some of these suckers off. Actually, we're going to be stuck with three of them. Kennedy's clone, or Kennedy's little kind of water boy, Hernandez, is going to remain on the council. Matthews will remain on the council, and of course, Rotkin, the shadow mayor, will remain on the council. Plus, on the other side, there'll be Byers, Catherine Byers. So, I say, they looked good at the beginning. I think they're still good people. They need to be told. They need to hear from you, not to weaken their moral perspective, not to abandon basic human rights for local people because they're getting some squeamishness from their West Side constituency. So give them a call. Give Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar a call. And, you know, I don't have their phone numbers right here. I will have their phone numbers on Sunday. They are in the phone book. And if you're interested, you can give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will give you the phone numbers of the candidates. You can look at them, and then you can give them a call and tell them what you think. Tell them to vote down the sleeping ban, vote down the downtown ordinances. I'd say fire the police chief. There has to be a real house cleaning here. And I know that that's maybe not what they want to hear, but it's what they need to hear. And that's what we need to tell them to set them straight. Well, at the city council meeting on Tuesday, and I remind you there are city council meetings every Tuesday, second and fourth Tuesday of the month, and they got extra ones that they were putting on the fire in order to rush through a bunch of stuff early. There were some interesting oral communications, and I'm squinting at my tapes here to make sure I know what was happening, which tape is which, and which tape contains those oral communications, because I want to play those for you. There were a couple of good speeches, and I wanted to, for those of you who didn't make it to that Tuesday City Council meeting, I'm hoping I can get that out for you. While I'm doing that, I think what I'm going to do is play an interview with a man from University of California up at Berkeley. Here's a guy who called me earlier today. He's a film student from UC. He happened to be out on the Albany waterfront. The Albany is a little town that's just south of Berkeley on the East Bay. And he found a beautiful place. Actually, it was on top of a kind of a landfill trash dump area that a lot of cement stuff was dumped, and now the nature is coming back there. He found homeless people living there, and he found signs evicting the homeless people, and he had some interesting reports which may lead us to try to mobilize to stop that eviction up in Albany. I'm going to play you my initial interview with him, and you can give me a call and tell me what you think, of course, about any of this. I'm at 427-3772. Here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Let's hear about the Albany homeless and this encampment that apparently now the police are threatening to remove.
Good evening, Fred Gregor, Santa Cruz.
Sorry about that. That is indeed Fred Geiger of Santa Cruz, and we are going to hear about the Albany encampment. While I search for that tape, let's take off on what I was telling you before, which is these are the city council speeches at oral communications, which is really the only period of our city council meetings when people can make their own views known, pretty much, unless there's a public hearing. The rest of the time, you got to listen to Rutkin and Kennedy prancing around and telling us what to think. But here are three speakers talking about issues that I think maybe...
Don't care if others are not. You have attacked me, your children will pay for it. I think they're damned and on their way to hell, and I don't think there's any redemption for them. I say to hell with you!
Talked to 10 or 11-year-old kids, and I'm only in my early 30s, and so I thought, well, I'm pretty hip. I'm up to date with these kids. They looked at me like I was a dinosaur. I asked them, I don't know, have you ever heard of the game Kick the Can, Gene?
Yes.
These kids, not one of them had heard of Kick the Can. They don't go out and play those games anymore the same way we did as kids. Now they're playing, you know, Super Mario Brothers 3 and whatever it is, they play them on their...
Yes, that whistle, that beat. It's got to be Bathroom Spears Broadsides coming your way. Your Civil Rights Show every Sunday and Thursday. We're going to be with you until 1:30 today. I'm your host, Bathroom Spear Robert Morse. We're going to have interviews with Juan Gutierrez on the Miguel Gutierrez abduction by Judge Robert Attuck, sent to San Quentin Prison for defending himself. We're going to talk about the election, a lot about that. We got special interviews with Phil Baer, hoping to have an interview with Jane Immler, homeless activist in St. Louis, talking about the latest publicity craze around Karen Gillette of the Homeless Community Resource Center. Lots of stuff happening. Stay with us. It's Bathroom Spears Broadsides until 1:30. Well, the tape seems to have vanished on us, but we're working on it here. We are going to be covering a lot of stuff in the next 2.5 hours. This is Bathroom Spears Broadsides. I want to welcome you to the show today. This is a call-in talk show concerned with civil rights for poor people in the city. And our number is 427-3772, 427-3772. So if you have any thoughts on anything that's going on, comments you want to add to this dialogue, please do call us, because this show is your show. We're going to begin with an interview we had yesterday, actually, with two UCSC students doing a project on police brutality in Santa Cruz. These two students originally got involved because one of them was doing a documentary on the shooting of Happy John Dine. Happy John was the man shot by the police back in November. The anniversary of that shooting actually is coming up. It'll be November 12th. And I think that one of the students has something planned for that time. Adjusting my levels here a little, so I apologize if I'm coming in either too quietly or too loudly on the radio, but we will get it right. So anyway, we're going to talk to Ben and Marla. And after that, I think we're going to go pretty directly into a direct and live phone interview with Juan Gutierrez. So let's go for that and stay with us. Okay, it's October 17th, 1998. It's about 15 to 2. And with me here are Marla Haddon and Benjamin Jones. I was going to say James, but I was wrong. It's about 15 to 2, as I said, Saturday. And you guys have both been doing work around police brutality.
Yeah, we're doing a documentary about it because we've just had a few friends have some interesting experiences that's made us question what's happening. So we're doing some more research and learning there's a history here. So hopefully we'll end up with a pretty powerful documentary about it that might raise consciousness.
So have you yourself, Marla, experienced police misconduct or brutality?
I haven't. I'm a real, sweet, innocent-looking person, and I take that as an advantage. So I personally haven't, but that's not reason for me to not realize it's there. Friends of mine have, and I see it. You know, I live downtown, and there's a definite human level that I don't understand there, and I want to try to get to the root of somehow. So Yeah, fortunately I haven't experienced anything like that.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 20.
And you're a student at UCSC?
Yeah.
And what year are you?
I'm my third year.
And you've been around town for 3 years?
Yeah, I have.
And is this a new subject to you as far as your recent interest in it?
It is. It kind of just came to me through different events in my life, and it sort of a wake-up call last weekend. Ben and I both brainstormed and made these flyers that said in bold print, "Have you experienced Santa Cruz police brutality?" And so we're just diving into it, and we've been getting, you know, just overhearing conversations, meeting people, realizing there's a march going on. It's just kind of...
You're talking about the October 22nd march, I guess it has a longer name, March Against Police Brutality, Against the Criminalization of a Generation. I think there's even a third thing they're talking about there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a long phrase, but it's happening on the 22nd in San Francisco. Starts at 2 o'clock at 24th and Mission in San Francisco, and I believe there's a carpool going from San Jose. Anybody interested, by the way, can give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Of course, you can call on air. This is a tape recording, but there should be someone in the studio as this recording is being played who can answer your calls if you yourself have experienced police brutality or police misconduct. Really important to bring this into the public arena to let others know that it's happened, to essentially put the officer on the public record and hold her or him accountable for what was done in that particular case. So, now, any particular stories you heard that you feel are credible that you want to pass on to us?
I haven't done enough research to know exactly what provoked everything I've heard, but just in passing out these flyers, seems like almost everyone I gave a flyer to stopped me and said they had a story, whether it was a street kid telling me he had a gun pulled to his head a few days ago, someone showing me a big scrape above his eyebrow that said he was only trying to sleep. Like, everyone just, it was such a reaction. I haven't, I grew up in San Fernando Valley, so my father works in LA, and I was there during the Rodney King riots and trials, and so that kind of woke me up a little bit, but this is really a recent thing for me. A friend of mine had an experience where he saw a police officer using excessive force, and I don't know the details of this, but he walked up to the officer and asked him, he said, "Chill out, what are you doing, you need to stop." And the police officer looked at him with a pepper spray in his hands. Is this right, Ben?
Yeah.
Okay, with pepper spray, and he basically told him to get lost, so my friend started walking in the direction he was going, and then just to hassle him for interfering, he made him walk in the other direction, and he looked at him and said, "I'm not afraid of you," and he kept walking, and the next thing he knew, he was being handcuffed, he was searched, he had a fake ID, he's 20 years old, a college student, I guess that's a felony. Basically, he has to get a lawyer now, he's had to pay $500 bail, and this was just someone with a good heart, you know, trying to stop this violence he saw. And this was his payback, and that just kind of like let me know where the police want us to be and how they want us to react, and I don't want to react that way. I don't want to ignore it and live in my safe home, because I just don't think I could be proud of myself knowing all this, knowing there's something that isn't right, something's twisted, and I just want to do something to at least like raise it to people who don't experience brutality.
Where was this case? Was it in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago in Pacific.
Do you know the name of the officer involved?
I don't know. I don't know the name of the officer. I just know the story.
Hmm. Interesting. And I've been trying to get the CPLB, our local Carapuro Police Review Board, actually called the Chummy Police Cheerleader and Cheering Society, as some of us sarcastically describe it, to look into pepper spraying, because it's, of course, been credited with many deaths nationally. And it is permitted piracy by the Santa Cruz Police Department. I think it's really important for people to, whenever they say police stopping someone, if they have time, and even if they don't, to stop, watch, come as close as you can so you can hear what's being said. If a police officer asks you to step back two steps, and say, "Certainly, officer, but don't go." And keep an eye on what's happening. And if you see any kind of misconduct, give a call to this group called SPAM, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012. HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is also available. 423-HUFF is their number, 423-4833. And I guess, Marla, you are yourself seeking stories and information. What's the number you're asking people to call?
We have two numbers. One is 335-8069, and the micro number is 421-9263.
Can you repeat those numbers?
Yeah, 335-8069 and 421-9263. So if there's any story anyone has that they'd like to share with us, we can do this confidentially. We just want to get some stories out there to people.
You also, I know you've been a video journalist, and you have been, you work on a project for University Community Studies Program and by the inimitable Mike Watkin last semester around the Happy John Dine shooting. How did that go?
It went really well. It was really empowering just to, get the equipment, get the assistance we needed, and go out there and make something which hopefully made a difference. We showed it to a class of about 100 people, and the response was wonderful. Sadly, about a half of the people there hadn't even heard of the John Dine shooting, and gave a really good response thanking me that I made the film and got it out. And right now I'm just looking for avenues of showing it. I'm right now in the process of, it was originally 8 minutes, I'm in the process of making it into a 30-minute documentary just because there were so many issues that I couldn't go into with the 8-minute one. And
I know last year the Rascals had a forum which Keith McHenry, various other people were invited. I guess I spoke, or somebody spoke, about Happy John Dine and the slaying that happened on November 12th in 1997 at the corner of Front and Laurel, Soquel Streets, at the bus stop there. It was the bank, and of course, Happy John, for those who don't know the case. Why don't you tell what happened? I, of course, have my position on it, but you've done some research into it. What happened there that night?
Well, what we've been told by a lot of people is that he was just walking around on the sidewalk, happened to be in front of the Catalyst, and a bouncer that most likely knew him and thought of him as a nuisance most likely wanted him to get away, saw that he was maybe carrying a toy gun, a plastic toy gun. He saw his friend, Connor Carey, driving by.
Connor Carey, who was a police officer?
Yeah, Connor Carey, who he had gone to high school with, waved him down and got in the back of the car, and they went out searching for Happy. And they tracked him down on a front street in Soquel in front of the bus stop. They pretty much just rapidly parked right in front, jumped out of their cars, had the guns aimed at him, told him to freeze. What happened is a little bit hazy here, but supposedly he told the officers to fuck off, and right after that, Connor Carey fired three shots into his chest.
Two shots, okay.
Two shots, maybe. Into his chest, which he later died from in the hospital. And basically, we have 10 eyewitnesses, or more than 10, that said that he was not acting in an aggressive manner, was not holding the toy gun at the time he was shot. And we have witnesses that say that they shot him after they shot him, they went, rummaged through his backpack, and found the toy gun in his backpack and threw it onto the sidewalk.
His backpack or his fanny pack?
His fanny pack. And so it's questionable as whether he was even holding the toy gun or even had it in his hands when he was shot. So it's just, there's a lot of unanswered questions. The shooting was justified by the DA and the chief of police within 24 hours, and pleas for further investigations by the eyewitnesses. For further investigation basically did not work, and nothing has come about it.
Yeah, the Assistant Police Review Board in January found that everything was kosher for the police with the shooting. They didn't require an early investigation, then they didn't even seek an independent investigation, and they had no public hearings on the issue, though many people lined up at their regular sessions to insist, to demand, to plead, to no avail. Interestingly enough, their final story in January was significantly different than the police chief's story, but they did not find the police chief had engaged in any malfeasance, did not comment on the discrepancies between the stories that they came up with and the police chief had. The police chief's story was that he had a gun pointed in a combat stance, it's in plain sight of the witnesses, whereas the story that the CPRB came up with was that he was reaching for a gun. Considerably different kind of activity than holding a gun in a combat stance and pointing it at the police. Police chief has never rectified his statement, never amended his statement.
So we have, there's a clear discrepancy in the public record, and the agency charged with dealing with that discrepancy, the Citizens Police Review Board at Santa Cruz, has, of course, remained silent. So here's a year since that shooting, the November 12th shooting of Papa John. And you have something in mind, Orlando?
Yeah, what we're hopefully going to plan to do is hold a vigil at the clock tower at 6 o'clock and then walk towards Happy Corner, which is the bus stop at Front in SoCal, and hold a vigil. And we urge anybody who would like to remember his life and what had happened that day and let the Santa Cruz police know that we haven't forgotten that to come down. And hopefully I'm right now in the process of organizing Rascals meeting, which is a group up on campus of students who basically don't take any shit and want to make a difference in all the bullshit that's going on around here. And we're gonna possibly, hopefully, hold a meeting at 8 o'clock following that vigil and walk to Happy Corner on police abuse, and the 10-minute documentary that I made earlier this spring will be shown, and we're going to have some speakers talking about the issue of police brutality in Santa Cruz, and we'd urge you all to come. It's in Cresby Town Hall at 8 o'clock, hopefully on November 12th.
So on the 12th, you're thinking of a vigil at the 10 o'clock around, like, 5:30?
5:36, and then up to campus at 8 o'clock.
And back down to Happy Corner, it's okay, in front?
Yeah.
And how can people contact you if they want to help organize this?
They can call me at 335-8069.
335-8069, talk to Jim. You want to help plan for this commemoration of Happy John and this renewed protest against police violence. You are, of course, circulating this flyer, which you showed me earlier. It's kind of a cardboard flyer. I don't have a copy of it immediately here. I guess you're going to maybe pull one out. Have you had much comment or response from the flyer?
Yeah, we have. We've had some interesting stories. I've been emailed a couple of disturbing stories about people who had police officers come to their home for actually being arrested when they weren't even the person that was supposed to be arrested, having bags thrown over their heads with holes in it so they could breathe, and thrown in cells.
One story about a guy with a bag over his head?
Yeah, and we haven't actually gotten to speak to him in person because he emailed us. We've been called by a criminal law student who had some stories, and yeah, just urging you, if you have any stories, to please give us a call. Directly in the Santa Cruz area, but if it is outside in the Bay Area, we are also interested in hearing stories.
And your phone number again is
335-8069.
335-8069, not only to organize the Happy John Dine memorial, but also to report any stories, and this I think is really in keeping with a real memorial, the Happy John Dine, stories of police violence, police brutality. The flyer says, have you experienced Santa Cruz police brutality? If so, we want to hear your story. We are students who realize the need to expose the reality of police brutality in Santa Cruz. We have to let the SCPD know that we, the people, will not take their excessive violence anymore. Let your voice be heard. SCPD brutality has already taken a life in the past year. We can't let it happen again. Understand your power and take control of it, God damn it. 335-8069 and Marla at 421-9263. Or email Mystic77, that's all in capitals, at CATS, all in capitals.
UCSC.edu.
Not on the flyer, I should know. And then there's, of course, an opportunity to get the number at the bottom. That's one of those rental posters where you can take a tear off a little tab that has numbers and names. And you see these flyers around. Again, if you want to help them, and I think it's really a worthy project, you need this kind of investigation, this kind of interest. Give a call to 335-8069 for Ben, or for Mara, 421-9263. Or you can call me. I work with Half Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, particularly concerning violence against poor people, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Any particular student concerns about UC police that you've noticed?
Personally, I haven't heard too many horror stories about the UC police, per se, but, I have heard, actually there was a story last year where a party was broken up, and the way in which they handled it was excessive. They used force, but besides that, the UC police, I really haven't heard too much brutality, but we are definitely interested in stories of misconduct on the UC police's behalf.
I know there's been a lot of concern on one of my pet topics this year because of the really visibly crucial grave housing crisis on campus, the sleeping ban. The city has one sleeping ban which applies to half the campus, and then campus itself has another sleeping ban, its own campus sleeping ban, and it affects a lot of students who are homeless, and more students are homeless this year than ever before, of course, because of the housing shortage, because of the enforced expansion of the university, which continues to pump out more student dollars for the regions and for the university machine, without paying much attention to what accommodations are really available for them and what kind of facilities are really available for them, throwing them into the greater Santa Cruz community. Reports on homeless concerns up at the campus, you know?
Definitely. I have a lot of friends who are still homeless. Finding affordable housing in Santa Cruz has pretty much become impossible. The campus is ignoring these demands and not giving enough dormitory space. They're pretty much trying to pack as many kids up onto that campus as they can, as you said, just to pump out the dollars. And it's really a shame because I have friends who could, you know, who would love to just set out their sleeping bags in the Porter Meadow or up in the woods and aren't allowed to do so because of that ban. And I'd urge people to, if they can, put pressure on the UC to do something about this housing problem, because there are a lot of kids that are homeless right now. I've had friends that have been sleeping at my house. It's just a bad situation.
Marla, what do you want to say about any of this that may have come up in the course of the conversation we've been listening
to? I was just agreeing with everything Ben was saying about there being a problem with not enough housing. It's just very unaccommodating. The bus stops have never been so packed. Buses would just drive by with kids packing them. It's really sad that these students can't focus on their classes and can't really gain a good education when they don't even know where they're going to be sleeping. Like, I've had three different friends spend, a week to a few nights at my house because they couldn't find a place, and we are responsible, intelligent people that have been out every day for, months, some of them, and it's just really hard. It's very hard here, and I think everyone deserves an education, and I wouldn't want to be the person turned down from the UC, but if they're going to allow more students, they need to accommodate that. Well, it just doesn't make any sense.
So, number of issues here. I guess the one that I'm principally going to urge people to respond to is, again, the major concern here, which is to respond to the flyer on Santa Cruz police brutality. I guess you're both working on it for a video project and also out of a personal commitment?
Yeah, I'm doing an independent study for the elongation of the John Donne documentary. This police brutality is more out of just a personal enjoyment and personal need to do this. So it's not really through the UC. We are getting help from the UC as far as equipment goes, but primarily Jeff Dunn down at Community Television is helping us. Bruce down at Community Television, we have access to the editing rooms and the equipment. And that's primarily what we're doing with
it. And Amara, are you going to be going up to San Francisco to the violence demonstration about a demonstration against violence by the police on the 22nd?
Yeah, Ben and I are going to have some video cameras with us, hopefully get to speak to some of the speakers there, get some footage of people, really putting their fists up and showing the solidarity by everyone wearing black. If you can't make the march, wear black. And when people ask you why, if you're a person who happens to not wear that color, you might be asked, but let them know that it's for police brutality, that you're conscious about that.
And we can wear black down here as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's encouraged on that day, and if you can make it up to San Francisco, it's probably going to be pretty incredible and powerful, the amount of people that are going to show up, and hopefully Ben and I will get some good footage from there, which I'm sure we will.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be doing the car caravan, or just the two of you going up?
Just the two of us are going up, but if anyone would like to do a car caravan, then they can get in touch with us at those numbers.
Those numbers again.
335-8069 or 421-9263.
So if you're interested in going up on the 22nd of October, that's, I guess, this next Thursday, do give a call to Marla or Ben, at 335-8069 or 421-9263. And actually, if we had a car, that'd be good too, because I don't think they probably have enough space to take everybody who calls if the interest gets strong. But certainly it's a good place to make contact. Is there something that you'd like to conclude with, Marla, or that you'd like to continue with?
I hope that people start to, I hope this inspires people to maybe look around a little bit more and not just think but act. You know, there's a lot of positive thinking and positive energy in Santa Cruz, and that's very important. But it would really be nice to see people realize how many resources they have and to really take control of it. That's what Ben and I are doing. I feel really proud of myself right now and realizing my importance. And I just hope that other people hear what we're doing and realize we're just a couple students that don't know exactly what we're diving into, but we want to do something, and so we are. And that's possible for anyone if they have that motivation.
Thanks, Mom. And I think we need that motivation.
Yeah, I just urge people to just open their eyes and see what's going down, because all you have to do is go down Pacific one day and walk up the street a couple times, and I'll guarantee you that you'll see the Santa Cruz police harassing people that don't need to be harassed. And it's prevalent, and it's really easy to be living in our nice houses in Santa Cruz or up on the hill, up on campus, and ignore what's going down and to just not even see it. So I just urge people to just open their eyes and see what's going down, because something is going down, and that's what we want to get out to the people.
Thank you very much, Ben and Marla. You've been listening to kind of a combination of subjects. These two are investigating police brutality for a video documentary. Actually, Happy John Dine is what's been looked at in the video documentary. They're also organizing a memorial for Happy John Dine on the 12th of November and going after the police brutality mass protest in San Francisco on the 22nd of October on Thursday. So again, any interest, give them a call at 335-8069 or 421-9263. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
They try and hide the plans that they don't.
Rolling Home by Peter, Paul, and Mary from album 1700. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Bathrob Spear Robert Norris. This is Bathrob Spear's Broadsides. We've got some interesting stuff coming up. An interview, as I said before, with Juan Gutierrez. And before that, we're actually going to play an update from Phil Baer. You may, if you've been a regular listener, been following the Beach Flats controversy, the boardwalk giveaway, as I call it, Seaside Company sellout, which seemed to have been forestalled a little bit by the actions of the City Council on October 6th and the early morning hours of October 7th, when they seemed to have removed the three major concerns, or at least some of the major concerns of this huge redevelopment giveaway to Charlie Canfield from the plan. However, there was a lot of doubt among activists at the meeting as to whether that was actually happening or whether it was some sort of election eve ploy to put the issue off, make it appear that things have been resolved, and get a sympathetic, development-minded candidate like Linda Steinau, Rod Quartararo, or Jane Walton on the board, on the city council, that is, and then proceed with their 4-3 majority, since if they get one seat, if the Rotkin gang gets one seat on the council, they will control the council and be able to proceed. So that was the question. And